for he delights in. When you receive instruction and follow him, one of the greatest times, which he can't love you any more than now than then, but you seem to love him more. That he has loved in history this time of fellowship that people's made it to, where they worshipped and fellowshipped with him just unlimited. Well, the tongues interpretation said he's excited about what we're approaching. I think this is the part where he gets what he loves so much. Children, people born again by the acres. And stop suffering where he finds it. Boy, he loves it when the body of Christ functions like that. What fellowship? The good part, we're never too old. We're on a journey. I'm already an eternal being. I'm not worried about it. I'll finish here or there, but I will finish. Hallelujah. Yes. Talked to Alan from Canada, Road, different places. He's so excited. Not only about traveling and seeing old friends and that, but what God was doing. Some of the things he stepped into, he can testify to what Mark is preaching. It is the truth. In fact, you can't keep him from coming hardly. He comes. So, let's hear this testimony, shall we?
Well, praise the Lord. It's good to be home and to see all your lovely faces. Most of your lovely faces, anyway. No. I've been out on the road, so I still have a little. You go to Canada and you pick up your. I pick up my accent, and also my sense of humor comes back a little bit. The Canadian style, which is dry. Wonderful to be home. The more time I spend with you here, the more odd I feel when we travel. I think the majority of the churches I minister at aren't familiar with the prayer center or really the message, and so I'm kind of like a missionary into those churches, and I'm discovering more and more how much I appreciate this place and the message here. You hear Jason say a lot of times how we don't know what we have, and you know it's true that what we have here is powerful. And in the old days when I traveled and ministered, we would try to get to the people to a place to where they would receive from God. And seems like lately, God's just showing up without a work, without trying to make it happen. He just shows up. And sometimes he shows up without me even knowing it. You know, one service I was preaching at, and a girl who broke her arm over here just got healed right in the service. Took her cast off. And she broke her arm 3 days earlier, just took her cast off. And I didn't even know. People will come up to the prayer line to receive their healing, and before I got to pray for them, they were healed. And I say, well, where's the pain? Well, I had pain back in my back, but it's not here right now. It's gone. And I just want to encourage you. You know, Pastor Dave wanted me to share a little bit, and we travel together as a family, as you know, and so this was our summer tour of 2010, and I call us the Taylor Family's Travel and Salvation Show. And, you know, we got to go see, we tagged on to this trip a couple weeks with my family in Canada, And I did some ministry up there as well, but mostly to see my mom and my dad and my sisters. And it's amazing. We got up there, and my dad, 3 days or 4 days after I was there, had to go in for emergency surgery. And they had to clean out his artery. And wouldn't you know, it happened right when I was there. And I think that was more for my mom, that I could walk them through that and be there with them through that. My sister, who, you know, my mom makes them come hear me preach every time I go to Canada. My sister, who I love, is she's the ornery one. And she couldn't make it to that service because her husband had was working up in northern Alberta, so she had to go there that Sunday. But her daughter, who's 15, and her son, who's 18, came to hear me preach. And all the two of them got born again that service. And I didn't even have an altar call for salvation. I was praying for the sick. And they were standing in line with their friend, and they got born again. They said, "We want to get born again." You know, and I talked about the born again trail there. And, you know, and I think for us, I want to say you don't know how valuable you are, but I want to say it this way. You know, Mark preached really good this morning about cultivating that nature on the inside of us. And you don't know how, you may not know, I guess is a good way of saying it. You and I may not know just how valuable that nature, that treasure on the inside of you is. And that God has a plan for us. And so many ministries out there are leading people on dead-end roads. And where we spend our whole life serving God, but never get to walk in all that God has for us. And the worst part is, we can spend our whole life serving God and doing things for God and think that we're in His perfect will. And there is such a... the body of Christ in America today is walking with God as if they're Old Testament saints. And they're learning how to prophesy the same way the prophets of old did. They're learning how to hear God the same way Daniel did in visions and dreams. They're learning how to walk and do things for God and even worship God, as Mark preached this morning, through what they do. But how many know we're not in the Old Testament anymore? That God doesn't have to deal with us as soulish man because we're born again. And we have this treasure and earthen vessel, this new nature on the inside of us. That you and I, no matter where you come from, no matter what you're going through, no matter what your calling is, you and I have a Father. And we could walk with Him and talk with Him. And He'll speak to you through your spirit because that's the part of you that belongs to Him. I'm going to start preaching. I better be careful. When God first began to promote me the last couple of years, I said, "Well, God, you're finally seeing I'm faithful. Hallelujah! You're promoting my faithfulness. Yes." But you know, He told me. He said, "It's not you that I'm promoting. It's the truth in you. See, the part of you that belongs to Him." If you cultivate it, I'm going to preach Mark's message. If you cultivate it through worship, through prayer, through meditating the Word, if you cultivate that, you actually become more like God. You're not trying to love like God. You're becoming like God. See? And that's the part that He'll promote. That's the part that He speaks through. That's the part where the blessings and the anointings and the power comes through. And so we may be small in numbers. We may be a group of good Christians, dysfunctional family. But I want to encourage you today. let's not spend our life You can look over the fence and think there's something's better over there because they have more success. And God blesses anyone who serves God. Any work that you want to do, he'll bless. And he'll be involved with as much as you let him. But I'm really seeing how the church has become deceived in acting like Old Testament saints when they operate in the things of God. And God's involved with them. But there's a better way. So I want to encourage you. Let's go back to Sunday school. Pray, read your Bible, worship. And let's keep walking, because inside of each of us is a treasure. And you'll find that the end of your road, if you stay on this path, you're going to find everything that God spoke to you is going to come to pass. Every prophecy, every dream, every bit of your calling will come to pass. But it's not going to be in your power. It's going to be in His. Amen? We're so glad to be home and to be back. This is home for us. And it feels so natural to be here. So good. And we appreciate all of you very much. Love you.
Hallelujah. You'll thank glad after we worship for a little while and listen to God and read an indictment against Mark for preaching what I was going to this morning. After we get done with all that, I think you need to exhort a little bit, just a little bit more on this, and then I'll help with the prayer line. Yes? I think he has something that he wants you to hear today. I love it when the exhortation's coming out of the mind of God. Why do you love it so much? Thank you, little nasalated voice of unbelief. I love it because it's him. Hallelujah, Jesus. So, I'm looking for the lady. There you are. Gosh, when I'm in this state, everything but Scripture gets crowded out of my mind, usually. You don't mind filling in for me on that day a little bit, do you, on that testimony? Then come with me. I feel like worshiping because I'll bring it back to you. I'm a gentleman. Stay there. What she's going to help me with, because I was out of it, kind of. And a family came from Kansas City for prayer and to Barbara's house, and so Barbara wanted me to come over and pray for them. And I don't think I knew the scope of it too much. So, come to find out that the main one that they wanted prayer for. Of course, everybody jumped in the line. Anyway, the main one was their son. Yes. Who was 11 years old. And he was born, if I understand it correctly, mentally retarded.
Yes.
Never spoke a word in his entire life. What happened?
He when they drove back to Kansas City, Kansas, he said, "I want my dad. I want my dad." He never spoke a complete sentence before. And then when they got home, their neighbor had their little kitty cat running around, and he identified the cat with meow. And he's never done that before. And now, as adults or conversations going on around him, he's pulling words out of the sentences, and he's being able to identify the words in his mind with what they're saying. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Hallelujah.
We just want to stop for a minute, you know, and celebrate a little bit, wouldn't you? And
yes.
So you can jump up again and sit down anytime you want, of course. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory, he's so good. Hallelujah. I praise you. Magnify you.
Hallelujah.
You're my everything.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, holy, holy. Can't wait to see him. Next time. They're going to come here and visit. So what will he not do? What did he say in Romans? How shall he who spared not his own son freely with him give us all things? He said, how shall he not? He doesn't want a million lawyers together and argue why he will. He wants them to argue. Maybe a million lawyers and a millennial could come up with one reason why he wouldn't. How shall he who spared not his own son? There's no reason that he'll not freely give you all things that he paid for, redeemed you from, set you into. Why wouldn't he? The answer is, he will. What makes a he will? Because he has. Because he has. So, you can be seated. Go ahead and just hold those hands up for a minute while we... Thank you so much. I want to worship him. A minute. If you have pain, stand up now anywhere in your body. Or even a pain causing something that's not causing right now. Just stand up where you're at and listen. See, she's up there at the altar. You want to leave some stuff here? It's a good time because His grace is here, very powerful. I think powerful enough to override and reach a little further than the shortcomings that's canceled its journey to this point. So I think he's just kind of waiting up here if you want to leave something there. And I love this. See, I've already done these things. It's when you lean over towards me and yield yourself into a territory that I can operate in. You help me come after you. When I find anything I can come after you with, I'll come after you. For it's the devil that's painted the picture that I'm the one leaving you suffering. It's not me. It's not me. I'm the one that's here to get it all back, saith the Lord. Whew. You got some kind of pain in your body and something. Just something that's got no business going to church. Pain is not welcome. It is not welcome to stay for the whole service. I'd say, do you hate the devil? I don't know what to do with him. I'm supposed to not hate. Do you feel sorry for him? No. Do you not like him? No. Do you think he's stupid? Very. Who would live in paradise and rebel? There's some bolts missing. How can you not look at a murderer with disgust? I don't know how he talked the other angels into it, but they're the ones wearing the chains now of darkness. Oh, they're not restrained from you at the moment. Their final judgment is when ours is. He lets him out after the millennial and chains him. Then everybody, after the great white throne, the earth is emptied out. The great white throne takes place. He looks and the heaven and the earth vanish away with fervent heat. There's a hell to go back to. They get their final judgment when we do. They messed around with our creation. They're not roaming no more. Just like it took him 7,000 years plus to get us back, whoever wanted to come back. We don't know the span of time they had. Say, well, they had no salvation, no tempter. Satan had no tempter. The other angels did. There was some kind of grace space for some reason. My thinking, I would have chained him. He'd have been a sorry puppy when I was done with it. If their grace period seemed to end with ours, everything's over. With this creation, the effect they had on it. And we don't have to put up with what he thinks he can do to us. We don't have to put up with it. He's still insane over destroying us as his creation. Well, he can just forget us who's received Jesus. We're not standing here and listening to this for nothing. So come on. You're in an eternal journey. And the thing is, don't wait till you get to heaven. You're in it now. Amen. So fix it now. Raise those hands up and receive in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Donkoraskishe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah in Jesus' name, whatever it is. Pain, you're leaving in bucket loads. Well, he's already healed some people and said some really good things. Now I think we're going to have some really good exhortation for the next few minutes. Then undoubtedly we'll have a line. Thank you, Jesus. So, why don't you welcome Alan back for the last part of this exhortation.
Well, let's go back to where I was. Traveling, one of the things you run into when you go to many different ministries is you run into many different doctrines. And when I first moved here, it's been 6 years, and I'd been part of the message, but I had an idea that this was the prayer and the worship and the fasting. You know, we all knew that, but it was kind of part of what we did, and we could fit in with other groups. It was just a little different than other groups. But the more I stick around, spend time praying and doing what the message teaches of fasting and worship and meditating the Word, I'm finding myself conflicted or in conflict with many doctrines out there. There's many different roads out there. And what I've really, this trip, the Lord began to show me how vastly the church has accepted a walk that is really how the Old Testament saints had to operate. See, before we were born again, we didn't have His nature. We had a nature of sin on the inside of us. And so when God talked to Abraham and Moses and Daniel, when He talked to Matthew and Luke and John in the first four books of the Bible, none of them were born again. Their nature was a nature of sin. So when God spoke to them, He had to speak to their soul. He had to deal with them as soulish men. See? How many know when you were born again, your soul was not born again? There's one spectrum of your soul belongs to your spirit. The other spectrum outside of your soul belongs to this old nature, this old flesh. I have been saddled with a soul that belongs to Alan Taylor. Alan Taylor died the day I was born again, but he left me with this ugly old soul that keeps trying to tell me what to do. That part of your soul doesn't understand life. It doesn't understand God. We went to visit Christy's mom, and she got a new little dog, a little Yorkie. It's only 4 months old. And we sat down on the couch, and I put my feet up, and this little 3-pound, 4-month-old dog jumped on the footstool and started to bite at my feet. And I thought, look at this cute little dog. He's licking me. And Pastor Pam, Chrissy's mom, said, "Oh no, that's where she sleeps. She's trying to get your feet off of her bed." And I said, "Well, you know, it's a good thing there's a man in the house today, because this little mutt needs to learn that this is my footstool. And when I'm done with this footstool, I'll let it have its bed back until I want it again." Well, see, in an animal such as a dog, you find emotions of love, joy. You find jealousies and envies. I can look at a little mutt and see many people like you. See, in that little dog is a soul. That's all it is. There's no spirit in that dog. There's a little soul. You take a mama bear and you steal its cub, and she will fight you to the death. That's called love. But it's the same love the world operates in, out of its natural soul. And the world can never go beyond the natural soul. Its love is conditional. See? Its joy is conditional. Its peace is based on circumstances. So now we get born again. You knelt down at the altar, and God took that old nature of sin out of you and placed in you newness of life. Hallelujah. You now have a spirit, a nature on the inside of you that belongs to God. You now have access that you and I could walk in a joy that doesn't come from our soul. There's a peace that doesn't come through your soul. See? And there's a love that doesn't come from your soul. Your soul, that part of your soul, the part that belongs to this world, you're going to leave it behind when you go to heaven. You'll still have the part of your spirit, the joy, the peace. That's why in heaven there's no tears. There's no jealousies and envies. But I'm seeing clearly or clearer how much of the body of Christ is operating out of their soulish realm in the name of God. And the way that God used the church in the Old Testament is the way that most churches are operating today. You got a little soul that you're stuck with until the day you pass and go to heaven. It's like that little dog trying to tell you what to do. A little dog has the wisdom of a peanut. And so does your soul. And most Christians, including myself, have lived our life saddled with this soul. See, your soul will like the Old Testament because that's how God spoke to the people, to their soul. You understand that? Your soul will feel comfortable operating as an Old Testament saint. Daniel saw visions and dreams. You can read about prophesies and miracles in the Old Testament. All that was done from God dealing with soulish man. So our soul feels comfortable there. It feels comfortable operating with God as an Old Testament saint does. Harrison asked me, he said, "Daddy, does Grandpa have a name?" I said, "Yes, he does." "What is it?" I said, "It's Ken." They looked at me and said, "Well, do you have a name?" I said, "Well, my name's Daddy." "As long as you live, you'll be 60 years old and I'll still be Daddy." I said, "Yes." I said, I used to be Alan. But now, since you were born, the moment you were born, I became Daddy." And see, in the Old Testament, we serve God as God because we were not born again. So He was God who had to deal with soulish men and women. But the moment you got born again, He wasn't just God to you anymore. He became your Father. See, and the way that He wants the church to operate today is no longer as a body, well, as a structure. Every one of us need to have a pastor in our life. Every one of us need to have an apostle in our life. Every one of us need teachers in our life and prophets in our life. But we have to define what that really is in the New Testament. Scripture says the Holy Ghost is here to comfort you. The Holy Ghost is here to guide you. And the Holy Ghost is here to teach you. But see, your soul wants to take that place. Your soul wants to comfort you and tell you how to be comforted. Your emotion, your soul, see, it wants to teach you how to find joy and peace. Your soul, it wants to guide you through life and help you make decisions. Let me show you how I got started here. Let's go to 1 Kings. See if I can find it. Chapter 18. See, what we have to realize is we can't look at signposts, you know, like you drive down the road, it says Austin, Texas, 200 miles. If you're in Canada, it'll say kilometers or kilometers. And then you keep driving, you'll say, okay, in 200 miles, I'll be in Austin, Texas. You will find comfort to know that as I'm driving, I will get there. 200 miles, depending on how fast you drive. For some of you, it may take 3 hours. For some of you, it may take less. But on this walk that you and I are on, you're not here by accident. I ask God, why am I so blessed? I've been blessed to be around great men of God. I've been blessed to be part of great ministries. I said, why am I so blessed? And he spoke to me and said, because of the hunger in you. And I said, well, I appreciate that. That's great. But it's not fair that you gave me hunger and you didn't give it to my friends who haven't followed you. And he clarified and said, no, it's, I didn't put that hunger in you. I found hunger in you. And it's that hunger that has allowed me to draw you closer to me. You're here because God found something in you. Maybe it was courage, maybe it was hunger, maybe it was zeal. But he found something in you that allowed him to draw you closer to him. We can't look at signposts that say, revival, 200 miles. We can go to big church meetings where they say, this is how you build your church. But you'll find most of that is going to teach you how to, out of your soul, do things. See, your soul loves to submit to each other. We have to learn how to lead with humility. We have to learn how to walk in revival and know it's because of him and not because of us. There is such a struggle out there. Listen to me. There is such a struggle out there for people, Christians, to justify their soul. They want to walk in power but not deal with their soul. They want to see miracles without having to die to themselves. First Kings chapter 18. We'll start in verse 5. Now I read this. Last time I read this was probably 15 years ago. It says, and Ahab had said to Obadiah, go into the land to all the springs of water and to all the brooks. Perhaps we may find grass to keep the horses and mules alive, so that we will not have to kill any livestock. Verse 6. So they divided the land between them to explore it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. Now as Obadiah was on his way, suddenly Elijah met him. Say Elijah. And Obadiah recognized him and fell on his face and said, is that you, my lord Elijah? And he answered him, it is I. Go tell your master, Elijah is here. Say here. Elijah told Obadiah, go tell your master that I'm here. And then look at Obadiah's answer. So he said, how have I sinned that you are delivering your servant into the hand of Ahab to kill me? So Obadiah said, have I sinned that you're going to send me to be killed by Ahab? As the Lord your God lives, there is no nation or kingdom where my master has not sent someone to hunt for you. And when they said he is not here, he took an oath from the kingdom or nation that they could not find you. So Obadiah says, Elijah, you're telling me to go tell Ahab that you're going to be here. But Ahab has sent many people to hunt for you, and they've come back that they could not find you. And if I go tell him you're here and bring him here and you're not here, he's going to kill me. Verse 11. And now you say, go tell your master Elijah is here. And it shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone from you, that what? The Spirit of the Lord will carry you to a place I do not know. So when I go and tell Ahab and he cannot find you, he will kill me. But I, your servant, have feared the Lord from my youth. Was it not reported to my Lord when I did with what I did with Jezebel, when Jezebel killed the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets, 52 a cave, and fed them with bread and water? And now you say, go tell the master Elijah's here, he will kill me. Then Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, I will surely present myself to him today. Elijah had a reputation for being translated from place to place. They would go look for him and they'd find him carried off to a mountaintop somewhere. Here is an Old Testament saint being translated. And as all this was unfolding to me this summer especially, as I found myself being an odd duck, that my doctrine more than ever was clashing with good, well-meaning, good church-building people who love God, I found something in me was irritating each other. And as the Lord began to clarify, he's still clarifying it. Many of our good church people are doing good works for God, and God is involved with them and blessing them. You should hear many, many testimonies that I've heard of how God, we were believing for this, to do this, and God came through. And I was puzzled for years, how does that work, God? Because I know there's 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold return on his seed. God will work with anyone and bless them and be happy to do it. But something in you has allowed him to ask you to go further into him. But you know why? Because he believes you'll do it. And there's no signpost that says victory in 200 miles. In 100 hours of prayer, you will have victory. In 30 days of fasting, you'll have victory. Your family is going to come in order. Your finances are going to be fixed. Your health is going to be healed. Your soul is comfortable with signposts. Your soul is comfortable in the Old Testament. Your soul is comfortable under a law and under servitude. But inside of you is something precious called a treasure. And it's the part of God that's in you. And every time you spend praying, every minute you pray in the Holy Ghost. See, there's so much fight right now. There's such a fight right now. People want to be used of God, but they want to justify their soul. Your soul feels good when it's in charge. Your soul will pet you and say, good job. But the moment you try to pray, the moment you fast or try to worship, do you ever argue with yourself? First time I tried a long fast, I remember I tried a 10-day fast back then. This is many years ago. I thought I want to do a 10-day fast. I got 3 days into it, and they just came out with the new Pizza Hut cheese in the crust. I thought, that is ingenious. That's why there's never a good day to fast. And I drove my car one night after the third day like a shark around the Pizza Hut. I parked it, went inside, ordered a large cheese in crust pizza, pepperoni, mushroom. And after I paid for it, I sat there and waited patiently for it to come, arguing with myself. Well, just get up and leave right now. But you already paid for it. They're going to think you're silly. But I already paid for it, so it won't matter to them. Just stand up and walk away. Do you ever have arguments like that? Can I ask you a question? Who are you arguing with? Who are you arguing with? I never hear that argument when it's Saturday football day. I never hear an argument when it's something my flesh likes. Who are you arguing with? You have a fight on your hands, and it's not with the devil. It's not with God. It's with the person who you're seated with. The person who's sitting... Don't look at your spouse. The person who you're seated with right now, who's in your chair, that person, that's a part of you. Listen, the day you were born again, every part of your spirit that belonged, that your parents named you, every part of that family in you died that day. And God put a new spirit in you that belonged to Him, and the new creature was created that never existed before. But you're stuck with this part of your soul. And it, like that little puppy dog who has no wisdom, who is driven by instinct, wants to tell you what to do. And you imagine living your whole life being led by your soul and not knowing it. I was with a couple, an older couple, and they had a really, you know, kind of a real affectionate marriage. What I mean by that is they're really overly affectionate. Not in a bad way, but just, you know, oh, honey bunny, moochie moochie. You know, all the time. It's like, ugh. You know. And they had a beautiful house, a beautiful marriage. They raised their kids. And I was having dinner with them. And it's like the Lord took back a curtain and opened up a curtain in front of me where I could see behind them. And they were super happy. She was extra loving to him, and he was happy. And the Lord took back this curtain and showed me. Said, this house is out of order. And these were pastors. Said, she's happy because he's doing what she wants him to do. And because he's doing what she wants him to do, she treats him great. And spoils him and pets him because he's bringing in the finances that she wants. He's doing what she thinks she needs to do. The house is clean. The meals are made. He's a well-kept man. I saw this curtain open. I didn't know that till this curtain opened up. And the Lord said, what's going to happen the day that he decides to follow me instead of her? He said, all the strength that this marriage is on is fake. Everything you create out of your soul that makes you feel comfortable and safe is going to self-destruct the moment you start to build your spirit, man, and listen to that nature. Everything out of the soul, every bit of security crumbles. You are not behind anybody. You are not behind anyone. Oh, I need to preach that some more. You are not behind anyone. How do we deal with our soul? I thought that we needed to have healing in our soul. And I understand that. We do. Many people do. But it's more than that. You have to put to death the power of your soul. Two guys can come to the church. One could be a fourth degree black belt in karate and have a education background, disciplined man. Another one could come and be a complete misfit. No discipline. A mess emotionally. And they both get saved. Do you know that both of them, their nature is the same quality? And both of them could go as far into God as they want. The only advantage this other man has is he may have more discipline to get himself in the prayer closet. He may have more discipline to get himself in the worship closet. Forgive me if I wander through all this today. But I want to encourage you. Many of the signposts that I used to look at that showed me what kind of man I was or how far along I've come in God, I found to be fake and found to be soulish. And I found that they reflected an image of who I became in my soul. But I have inside of me a treasure, a nature that belongs to God. And if I'll spend time praying in the Holy Ghost and spend time worshiping and in His Word, some of the things I ran into was over the years of really pressing in the prayer was, well, how much stuff are you doing for the kingdom of God? See, the doctrine in me is starting to clash. I used to be able to fit in real comfortable, but now I'm finding a clash. Well, how much activity are you doing for the kingdom of God? It's good to do things for God. But it's better to hear and obey than it is just to be busy to satisfy your soul. Do you know that it's only religion that devalues your prayer time? It is only religion that devalues the time you spend in worship. It is other people's opinions and doctrine in you that devalues your time. Is that the right word, devalue? That it is less valuable for you to pray as it is for you to do things for God. The way we worship, our soul wants to worship God through itself, through emotions. But there's a worship that comes from your spirit that's pure. The way we hear God, the highest form of hearing God is not a vision, is not a trip to heaven. The highest form of hearing God is when He can talk to you face to face. Sometimes we want to impress each other with what we hear or what we know. But you can hear God as well as I can. We need prophets in our life. We need pastors, teachers, evangelists. We need prophets and apostles. But I think we need to redefine what those really are. Because your soul loves to submit to other men in a way that it takes a responsibility off of me to hear God. I'll just hear you instead. I don't need to get my own vision from God. I'll just listen to yours. And there's no such thing. Let me finish with this. There's no hybrid we're looking for. You know what a hybrid is? Half and half. Mixture. We need to take what we have and mix it with this doctrine. And then if you mix it together in the chemical lab, boom, there's revival. That's what we're looking for. There's no missing key. Are you hungry for God? Wave your hand at me if you are. Are you seeking God? Wave your hand for me. Do you think He's trying to trick you? Do you know that if you never knew the prayer center, never knew Pastor Dave Roberson, Gary Carpenter, and you hungered for God, He would come teach you and lead you? Where do you think He would lead you? Think He would leave you down a road that's powerless, down a road that's empty, down a road that's not going to get results? You think He's going to hide a secret from you? Say, I'm going to have you do all these things and follow me, but in the end, it's not going to work. If you're humble enough, if you and I are humble enough to give our life over to Him, and say, Father, if all I ever do is just sit here and pray, if that's all you have for me, I'm happy to do that. If we're humble enough to follow Him and not our soul, you're going to have victory. I have been encouraged this summer to pray more than ever before, to spend more time with God than ever before. And I want to encourage you. There's nothing you're dealing with that you will not overcome if you keep investing into your spirit, man. There's no mountain. There's no fear. There is no insecurity. There is nothing that you cannot overcome if you keep praying and worshiping God and obeying Him. There is a attack that's come against a prayer center. The way the enemy attacks is through thoughts, opinions. And it's not just here in this building. There has been a spiritual planned attack against the message of prayer and the message of worship and the message of meditating the Word. And it is here to devalue the importance of spending time with God. The way the devil takes you out is he builds a case in your mind that says this is not going to work. You will not find your calling. You will not find your answers. You're going to wallow around like a hamster in a wheel your whole life because you're missing something. How many of you, if I asked you honestly, can say, I want God? Hold your hand up. I know that your hand's up because you're here. Why would you think? Why would we think that in our hunger to follow God, He won't take us to victory? Don't you think if you were missing something in your prayer closet, He would have told you by now? Busyness for God does not produce maturity. We're not looking for a secret, special key that's been missing. We're waiting to get old enough and mature enough that He gives us the keys to the car. Says, now there's enough of me in you. I know good Christians who love God, who serve God their whole life, and He won't trust them with the keys to the car. This type of maturity comes when we invest our time in ourselves and to letting that spirit man mature. Too much of the church today is impressed with Elijah. Too much of the church today is impressed with how God moves the way He moved in the Old Testament. We celebrate things that happened in our services that God did with men who weren't born again. We put too much credit on hearing God through our soul, and not enough value on the simplicity of hearing Him in your prayer closet. I think there's too much power given to our preachers. Well, that's not the right word. There's too much exaltation given to the soul. Won't you stand? I know what I'm supposed to do this morning. In this walk, you constantly have to make decisions to remind yourself. What kind of man or woman are you going to be? Are you going to overcome these things? Or are you going to let them lead your life? Can you let your insecurities push you your whole life, or are you going to overcome them? It's not a fight of will worship. It's a fight of mortification. Mortification is putting your soul in the place it's supposed to be. Not in leading you, but under your feet. I refuse to let my soul lead me through my life and talk me in to being busy for God while it pets me on the head and says, good job, good job, good job. And I never get to walk in all that God has for me. It is worth it for you and I to fight like a wild, crazy guy and girl to put our soul where it belongs. Alan Taylor died the day I was born again. And I have Christ in me now, the hope of glory. And I have a constant battle with Alan Taylor's soul trying to tell me what to do. And I refuse to listen. Before I have Pastor Dave come and we pray for you, there's still a lot of miracles here today. A lot of healings here. I want to old-fashioned challenge you to make a decision right now. To set your heart and to set your mind on a road of victory. A road of power. A road of overcoming. And a road of humility. That simply says, God, I am powerless to wrestle my soul. But I am capable of spending time with you in the prayer closet. With you in worship and with you in fasting. I can do those things. And I trust if I continue to do those things that I will see myself victorious. Not because of my strength or might, but because of God. Whatever whispers to you all the time and says, this is who you are. You're a failure. You're a bad mom. You're a bad wife. You're a bad husband. You're a bad Christian. Whatever is whispering to you is a lie. Whatever is whispering to you to say you can't overcome this. This is who you are. You're stuck with this your whole life. You're going to be fat your whole life. You're going to be ugly your whole life. You're going to be mean your whole life. You're going to be jealous your whole life. You're going to be weak your whole life. You're going to continue to fail this and fail this and fail this. Is lying to you. It's a lie. You have in you a treasure, a nature that belongs to God inside of you. You are not on this road to fail. The end of this road is not failure. It's not incomplete. So right now, if you would, just in your heart, let's recommit to prayer. Let's recommit to the message of praying and worship and fasting and meditating the Word. Father, we just commit ourselves right now. to you. We're not children. We're not babes in this. We're seasoned. We want truth. We want what's real. We don't want to be faked out. We want what's real. We want what is valuable to you. Thank you for this beautiful gift of salvation. This beautiful gift that we can grow beyond ourselves. And there's nothing in our way that can stop us. We refuse to quit trusting that voice on the inside of us. We refuse to be comforted by our soul and guided by our soul. We want real, truthful. We want victory and strength. And here we are right now before you, Father. We're standing before you. We will go into you. You don't need to look anywhere else. We're here. We will go further into you than anyone else. We will lay our life down for you. Our life is yours. Shondorababa sandarakie. Shondoroboko sandaraye. Forgive us, Father. For considering a different course than what you've laid before us. We're not here for Pastor Dave. We're here because you put us here. And we won't change course. You, sir, are our guide. You, sir, are our teacher and our comforter. Shondorobuko santarabuko. Robasitarabuko santara. Shondorobuko santarabuko. Chondorabasitarabuko santarae. Kuyandaraba santarabuko. Shondorobuko santara. Now just stay here for a moment. He's doing something right now. He's not talking to the crowd today. He's talking to you. You right now are standing by yourself before God. Why don't you make that commitment to Him? Right now. Make that commitment. Close your eyes. Make that commitment to Him. That there's no excuses in your life. That you're going to finish this race. There's no preacher that can speak for Him to you. That overrides what He has spoken to you. There's no weakness in your soul that has a right to dictate to you who you are. You're not going to settle for anything else but His will for your life. Because this morning there is grace to help you. Father, we're yours. We belong to you. We're not going to stay the same. We refuse. We refuse to let go of what you spoke to us. We are going to see revival to our families. Revival in our nations. And it's not going to be spite of us. It's not going to be God coming upon us. It'll be our Father working through us. We love you, Father. We're yours. Shondarasi Tarebo. Shandarasi Taraye. Shandarasi Tara. Open up the prayer lines if you'd like prayer for healing in your body or just like prayer. Pastor Dave will be up here as well. Just come as you feel. Go ahead.